You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
The Ragged, the Rotten, and Refined series. I've enjoyed this. I hope you have too. It's just character studies is all it is. And so we've been talking about all these guys. Some of them are okay, and then some of them are not so okay. We've relatively been in the Old Testament, and that's where we're going to be today. Now, I will tell you, I think most of you, at least 99% of you, are going to be able to relate to today because you've all been in a situation, or you are in a situation where you just don't know what to do, or it really looks like it's just too overwhelming for you, or you just am not sure how you're going to survive this thing in your life. I think most of you have been there. It relates to relationships, families, deaths, sickness, your finances. I mean, we've all experienced a time in our life where we're just overwhelmed, man. And we just didn't know what was going to happen. There's just those times where you just don't know what you're going to do. There was a time in the Old Testament where there was this man. He was in his 80s. He is going to take the place of Moses. And his name was Joshua. 80 was not very old back then. He was probably one of the greatest military generals in the Old Testament. He was tough. He was wise. He was smart. And he was kind of God's man in regards to getting the children of Israel from one very bad situation, which is the wilderness. And they'd been there 40 years. God took care of them, but they wandered and they wandered. And God had told them, I'm going to give you a land. And Israelis, that's what we call them today, are on that land today. All right. The promised land is Israel. And that's why there's so many skirmishes and why everybody's mad at them. But Joshua's job was to take the children of Israel from one side of the Jordan River to the other side of the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River sounds familiar to a lot of you because that's where Jesus got baptized. That's where John the Baptist was hanging out during Jesus' baptism. Problem is, it was during a time of the year where it was out of its banks. It was pretty tricky. But this is literally what Joshua's job is. And the kids, the children of Israel, really don't know how they're going to get over there. Now, I got to make a few statements. All right? I am not a symbolic preacher. In other words, I'm pretty literal. I tell you what the Bible tells us, and then I unpack it, and we make application. This morning, though, we're in a passage of Scripture where I'm not going to talk so much about Joshua, but I'm going to talk about the whole situation. And so, yes, there is a little bit of symbolism in here, a few metaphors that I'm going to make this morning, but I promise you, if you'll just read through here, you're going to go, oh, yeah, several thousand years later, this is where we as New Covenant Christians are, and this is how this whole story can help us and relate to us. Because trust me, guys, even if you fall forward, you're still moving forward. And a lot of you are stuck. A lot of you don't know what you're going to do. And you just seemed overwhelmed by the state of your life, all right? And so let's talk about this morning. And we're going to be in a book called Joshua. And it is actually around chapter 3. And by the way, you know, crossing the Jordan, we hear it in songs a lot, and it's talking about death. And that's not what it's talking about. The Jordan, if in a literal sense, they were in the wilderness, wandering. It was horrible. They were eating what we would understand as post-toasties three times a day. They called it manna. And I like post-toasties, but I don't like it that much. And getting them to a better life. And spiritually and emotionally, that's where a lot of you want to be. You're struggling, though. So let's talk about it. How'd they do it? Number one, we're going to have to choose to follow Christ. If you're in a spot right now and you have no idea what you're going to do, why are you trying to do the dadgum thing alone? And you say, well, I come to church. That ain't good enough. Church is church. It's a building. You showing up, punching the clock ain't enough. Choose to follow the Lord if you're at a spot and it's bad. Because after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp and they commanded the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, I need you to break camp, but follow it. This is the day before all of this is going to happen. Now Joshua figures out what's going on, but they're getting bits and pieces of it. And he says, we're going to break camp, but it's very important that you follow the Ark. So what's the Ark? All right, so the Ark, not Noah's Ark, the Ark of the Covenant. Because the Ark of the Covenant was a box, It had a lot of rules, but all it did is it symbolized the presence of the Lord. And if they followed the rules, kept it in the camp, God's blessing really was on them. It really did represent the presence of the Lord. Now, we don't have to have a box to do that because we got the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit, and He's in you. But not in the Old Testament. That only happened at Pentecost when everybody got the Holy Spirit at the same time when they become believers. And so what's happening here, He's saying, look, that box carried by some priest represents my presence, and you better follow it. Now, don't grab it. That's why He said, walk back up some. Don't grab it. But just look at it, pay attention to it, follow it. I'm telling you, it made all the difference in the world, because in a minute you're going to see if the box hadn't gone down with the priest toting it, they would have drowned, because it's going to be a huge experience for them. What has this got to do with us? Just as they chose to follow the presence of the Lord, you need to make sure, if you're in spot, that you are following the Lord 100%. Now, a lot of folks have no idea what that means, because again, a lot of people equate that, well, I show up for church, or I only committed 2 out of the 10 commandments this week. I've done pretty good. I'm at 20%. All right, I understand that. But that's not the same as following the Lord. What's following the Lord? Well, I need to make 2 statements. WWJD. Y'all remember that? So a lot of us in the 80s in church, we had these bracelets, WWJD. Now, what it was intended to do was to remind you before you do something ignorant. Jesus wouldn't do that. Or another thing was it was a conversation starter. So a lot of people got to talk about Jesus because people would go, what's that on your hand? All right, the problem with WWJD, how do you know what Jesus would do? The solution to that is, what did Jesus do? The only way that you know what would Jesus do is if you know what did Jesus do. So we look back in Scripture and we go, okay, I'm in this struggle with this relationship. How did Jesus handle relationships? I'm struggling with addictions. What did Jesus say? What was His take? In other words, what made Jesus mad? What made Jesus sad? What made Jesus excited? Who were the people that Jesus kind of migrated to and really pushed along? So that's how you know that you're following the Lord. What did Jesus do? And guys, look, if you don't know that, just ask. I always tell folks, gotquestions.org, gotquestions.org. You can look it up, man, and see how Jesus handled certain situations. The interesting thing about you following the Lord through your Jordan, your situation right now that seems impassable, is you get His presence. You get His presence once you're following Him. It's a terrible thing to be strung out there in a bad situation or in a bad wreck, life wreck, and not be close to the Lord, all right? His absence is a disaster. If you want to do this thing on your own, whatever it is, that's a disaster. We, Morrow Cattle Company, we don't buy gentle cows. You get a huge discount if they're ignorant. And you're going, why would you do that? Because I'm cheap. You put the right bull on them, it don't matter anyhow. So we bought some cattle that were psychotic. And look, they're not psychos. It's not their fault. They were raised in dysfunctional bovine families. Their dad had multiple wives, and they had to watch all that. So Mike and I got in some cattle one time that had, they were high horn bramers. And the fools were so dangerous, we couldn't get them caught in the squeeze chute. Every time they'd run down the snake, hit the squeeze chute, they'd bust it out. And we said, heck with this. So I told Mike, get on his horse. You remember this? He says, no, I've been, remember that's the day I got knocked out. One of the days. So I said, well, we got to get them horns off. So next time she runs out, let's catch her. And I don't know what I thought. Sometimes I am so overconfident in my great ideas. And I was just standing there. I said, he going to catch her. Well, he did catch her. But I'm telling you, did y'all ever see Ghost Rider? That's what she looked. She's on fire, had stuff coming out of her eyes. And she's making a beeline for me. And I'm telling you, right before she got to me, because she meant me harm, that rope came tight, and he stood her up, and we laid him on her side. Now, we're very gentle cow people. We laid her gently. I cuddled her. We had a team of neurosurgeons come in and remove her horns. And she is so happy now. She feels more beautiful. My point is, the presence of that rope made all the difference in the world on my life. The presence of the rope made all the difference in my protection, in my comfort zone. And I'm telling you, if the rope hadn't been there, it would have been a disaster. And I'm telling you, if the presence of the Lord isn't with you through these disasters that you're going through, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Follow the Lord, people. Follow the Lord. Ask yourself what he wants, what you can do better in, what he can help you in, and choose that path. Number two, clean up. If you're about to get in a mess here, clean up. Now, I ain't talking about a regular bath. He called it consecrate. So Joshua told the people, and by the way, they didn't have a clue how he's going to get across. He had not broke that information to them. Consecrate yourselves, because guess what? Tomorrow, the Lord is going to do some great wonders. And sure, and he does. That water is going to back up in a little old village called Adam, and it's about 15 miles upstream. It's almost like a repeat of the whole Red Sea fiasco when Pharaoh's army is after these guys. Consecrate yourselves. You look that word up, and it's going to give you a bunch of religious words, but essentially it means to get ready to separate and to repent, basically. It is important that you ain't got some junk in your soul, in your life, that is undealt with, that is unconfessed. Now, I'm not telling you you're going to be perfect. We're not. Well, except my granddaughter. But we're not going to be perfect. And even though there's some churches that actually teach that as part of their doctrine, it's called sinless perfection. Yeah, they teach that. We ain't. All right, I can show you that. Follow us, some of us around. Romans chapter 7, Paul said, I ain't perfect. Matter of fact, I have no idea why I act so stupid sometimes and make such bad choices. Romans 7, Paul said it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Do what's right. So, listen, God is expecting us to screw up. And that's why he said, just apologize. But the problem is when you're fixing to go into, or you're in your Jordan, your tough spot in your life, you need to have a clear head, spiritually. You don't need all that baggage. Hebrew tells us that there's two things. He says, let us set aside all the sin and the other stuff that can hold us back in this Christian race. It ain't just necessarily sin that's doing it. It's just wrong priorities. You go down here to a bull ride, and I'm talking about them good ones too. Them guys are in the back. I don't know I don't know half of what they're doing, but putting that rosin on those gloves, getting those boots and spurs on. Some of them are changing into a dirty pair of jeans because it's good luck. And they're just back there in their drawers. Yeah, we do that here in Cross Brand. But one of the coolest things, them slapping themselves. I just wish one time they'd let me help. Just one time. But they're getting ready because they're going to have 8 seconds of hell. 8 seconds of hell. And if they're trying to get their mind ready for 8 seconds of hell, what should you and I do with 6 months of chemo? What should you and I do with a bankruptcy coming up on us? We need to get our minds straight. We need to repent. We need to follow. Number three, now they're getting ready to cross, but pay attention to this. They had to listen to God's word. And you're going, well, that's what we're doing right now. Yeah, I just pray you're not just doing it on Sundays. Joshua told the Israelites, come closer, There's a bunch of them. And he says, listen to the words of the Lord your God. Problem then, unlike now, is they did not have the Bible we have. We have an old covenant, that's called the Old Testament. We have a new covenant, that's called New Testament. And man, we get to see all of it. Bible history, all the inspiration, all the stories, they didn't. So how did people in the Old Testament get the word? Through prophets and through leaders. And so Joshua says, I'm fixing to tell you something, and it's from the Lord. And they all gathered in. But they had to hear those instructions, because what's fixing to come up next, they're blowing their minds. Just absolutely probably blew their minds. I would say to you today, that mess that you're in or about to be in, it is so important that you get Scripture in you. Guys, and may I say this? I hope you would be target readers too. Target. So if you're dealing with a certain crisis, it's healthier emotionally, spiritually, to target read. If you're dealing with addictions, target read aspects in the Bible that deal with addictions. If you're dealing with a kid, target areas in Scripture that deal with that kid. My point is, guys, and if you go, I don't know where to look. GotQuestions.org. I mean, GotQuestions.org. Look it up. And it will give you resources on where to read. I've said this a million times from up here. That recovery Bible, Mike, are you still in here? What recovery Bible is that? What's the name? Life Recovery Bible. It has a phenomenal index in the back that deals with just virtually any kind of mood that you could wake up in. My point is, those definitions, those descriptions and instructions that Joshua is about to say, they're specific. They're a target to the situation that's about to happen. And I encourage you to get the word in you. I have a rule at my house. It's for me. I haven't always followed it, but I got a personal rule that I will not listen to Fox. I won't look at Fox News. I won't look at Facebook until I hear from the Father. Just my rule. I need to get something in me. And so I've got a little Bible app. I've got a buddy, Danny Rayford, that sends me a scripture. And so that's my personal rule. Guys, I have been through a lot of wrecks in my life. Wrecks. I'm talking about life wrecks. And I have learned the value of God's word. And it is such a privilege to be able to have that and not be like our brothers and sisters in the Middle East getting killed over it, or in China or in North Korea. We have access to it. Any way you want the word, any way you want. You can listen to it. You can read it. Please, folks, feed yourself. Get in the word. All right, so here it is. He's about to tell them. I don't know which comedian does a joke on the thing we say in the South. Y'all ain't going to believe this. Y'all ain't going to believe this. So I guess Joshua put his Texan on and he goes out there and says, now, y'all ain't going to believe this, what I'm fixing to tell you. He says, all right. See, the decision to obey, it ain't always going to make sense. And so Joshua tells them, when the feet of the priest who carry the ark of the Lord, we've already talked about the ark, the Lord of the whole earth, come to rest in Jordan's water. Can you just imagine some of our church leaders going to lead y'all across the Sabine? And so when we get down to the Sabine, here's what happens. Its water will be cut off. So I don't know what 15, don't look this up. pay attention. I don't know what 15 miles north of the Sabine Bridge is, but it stands up in mass, is what he said. And so there's this, and no, you skeptics, it was not instant beavers. I promise that's not what it was. I do not like those little guys. So they're going to do it. And they're going to walk across. Now, nobody's chasing them, but you can imagine, you know, unlike at the Red Sea, but you can imagine how creepy that must have been. I bet, you know, some of the older people leaned over and said, "Martha, what did he say?" She said it again. He goes, it's very important. And, you know, you want to do the right thing. I mean, some of you need rehab. And that's scary. Don't make sense, right? And some of your buddies are going, "That's stupid, man. You can do this. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps." Idiots. You don't do that. Marriage counseling. "No, y'all be all right." Financial counseling, pulling that trigger, taking a stand, like, you know, you just come to a point where you got to remove yourself from certain people, places, and things. How about, here's one I bet you wouldn't think that I'm going to. How about giving? The reason a lot of you don't give, because you ain't got much. It's just the opposite in Scripture. If you ain't got nothing, or if you can't afford to give, give a little bit. God's going to bless you. That's the way that works. The wealthiest people sometimes that just write a check and don't think nothing about it are probably not going to be as blessed as some of you that are living from paycheck to paycheck. Give a little. Just start. Just try. See what happens. But it feels weird. You ain't got the money. It don't make no sense. We can't afford this. It don't make no sense. And trust me, I am standing in front of my favorite crowd on the planet. But y'all got to admit, y'all done some pretty senseless things before that were stupid. Y'all ever heard? I have a list of some of the things that probably some of you are going to say in your last words. Famous last words. You ever heard these? Now, guys, this is funny. So y'all lighten up. "Hey, wife, I bet he's just probably hibernating." That's funny. It's a bear. They hibernate. Oh my gosh, y'all are awful this morning. Famous last words. "Hey, what does this button do?" Famous last words. "It's probably just a rash." Famous last words. "Why am I standing on a plastic sheet?" That was funny. I like that one. "Oh, I'm sorry, Church of Christ group this morning, holier than now. You can't even laugh at a good gangster joke." Here's one. And some of you have really done this one. "Yeah, I'm sure the power is off." Daryl Johnson told me about his, yeah, he did that this morning. Your decision to do the right thing ain't always going to make sense. Make it anyways, even if you're stumbling forward. Now listen, they crossed the Jordan. We're almost out of time. They crossed the Jordan. It worked, just like Joshua told them it would, just like the Lord told them it would. It worked. They got into the promised land. And by the way, they're still there. People are trying to kill them off, but they're still there. They got into the promised land. Now listen to me. It is very important that you communicate your crossings. In other words, it is very important once you get across this and you get through this, which you will, that you tell that story. There's nothing that frustrates me more knowing that many believers have survived these horrible life wrecks and they will not tell anyone. They offer no hope. They offer no help at all. So here's what Joshua's going to tell them. He says this real quick. The Jordan overflows in its banks, but as soon as priests carried the ark, they reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water's edge, and the water flowing downstream stood up, or stood still. And look what happens. We skip down to verse 4. So Joshua summoned 12 men, and he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you 12 guys to go to the middle of the dry river bed, pick up 12 stones. Now look at this. They weren't little bitty sissy stones. They were big enough where they had to hoist them over their shoulder. And he says, why? Why are you going to do this? It's going to be a sign among you in the future when your kids ask, what do these stones mean? You should tell them the water of the Jordan was cut off in front of the Ark of the Lord's Covenant. He says, look, you guys are forgetters. And probably within two generations, your dadgum kids are not going to know what happened here. Knowing what happened here will empower future generations. I'm just telling you guys, in our Christian world, we need to hear one another's stories. Because the truth of the matter is like Paul. Paul asked three times for the Lord to heal him. And I believe it was a physical healing. Three times. Guess what? He didn't. God said this. Instead of healing, I'm going to give you the power, a boost, a spiritual turbo that you don't know you have to get you through this situation. And Paul says, that is in Scripture called grace. And Paul said, I'll take it. I'll take it. Guys, and what did Paul do? He tells that story. Paul spends so much time talking about the messes that Jesus got him out of. And I am so encouraged by that. You should too. But guys, you have a story. I don't know if it deals with rehab. I don't know if it deals with marriage. I don't know if it deals with finances. But you've got a story. Why don't you share it? It's very important. Now, I'm out of time, but I want to close with something that actually happens in the very first chapter. He has just been given the reins of leadership by Moses. And God is going to tell him some stuff that I think it's preventative medicine. I think he's just getting Joshua ready for the first thing. And by the way, there are so many weird things. I mean, Joshua leads a group around a fortified city later called Jericho, and the walls fall down. But he says, look, I got a job for you. You can do this. Be strong and courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. And they were not just talking about financial success. That's not what this is about. My point is, he's telling Joshua, it's a pep talk, man. You've got this. If you have me, you have got this. And listen to me, Christian brothers and sisters. You have. You've got this too. With Jesus' help, you have got this. You've got this. Let's pray. Father, for anyone that's struggling this morning, I pray that this little talk is encouragement. I ask that you will give them clarity on where to go, who to see, who to call to begin that journey. Whatever that journey is, it's healing, it's rehab, climbing out of a financial mess. Father, I do ask this morning that if there's someone here that has never invited you into their life, that beyond a shadow of a doubt, before they leave this building, they'll know 100% sure that they're okay. They're square. If they've never invited you into their life to forgive them and change them, they'll do that. And this I ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Hey, this is Greg McDougal, and you're listening to the voice of the Cowboy Church HLE Radio, Jennings, Louisiana.